Hey, Team 22, welcome back to another episode of the HHA USA podcast. This week, Chris has returning guest Mark Newman and his wife Jane for this episode as they discuss the Hunt for Life Foundation and Life Camp USA. It's a wonderful conversation, so let's join Chris, Mark, and Jane now.
Welcome back, HHA USA Nation. We are back for another installment of the HHA USA podcast and just feeling re-energized, revitalized. I don't know what the word is, but the two-month break really did me some good. And I'm so blessed to have so many wonderful connections in the archery space and in the veteran community. And these two folks are definitely part of that circle. Mark has been on the podcast before, and I've got the pleasure of having both him and his wife, Jane, on this week to talk to us from Hunt for Life Foundation. So, like I said, they've been on the podcast in the past and just doing just awesome, awesome work. I met Mark 4 or 5 years ago, I think, when we had just started our 501c3. And as things go, you meet people and it's like, yeah, let's do something. Well, several years passed. And then when I finally took a deep dive and saw what they were doing, it was mind blowing. I mean, the work that God is doing through their ministry is just unbelievable, unbelievable. And so, Mark and Jane Newman, I'm gonna let one of you lead us off in prayer as we start this podcast, because being believers and knowing that God is always on the move and is going to do something, somebody's going to hear this podcast today and it's going to change their life. So, Mark, would you do that for us?
Lord, we just come before you here, and boy, what a mini miracle that technology is, that we can communicate and talk to so many in essence, and spread the words that we have to share with others through something cool like this podcast. So we just thank you for this opportunity today to catch up on life, see what you're doing. God, you're always working in our lives. It's just often us being aware of paying attention and seeing it. So. Thank you for this time. Guide our conversation today and bless all those who are listening. And there's someone special out there today, Lord, that it would touch their heart and have a life impact. So we want to go through life here and make a difference with those that we come in contact with, God. So we ask for your blessing in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. Yeah, so I'm going to, you know, you've been on here before, but there's a lot of people that, you know, maybe didn't hear the original podcast. So I want to give, especially now that your wife is here too, I want to kind of hear the origin story in, let's go 5 minutes or less on the origin story of Hunt for Life and how that whole thing started and what it was like to start a nonprofit and then obviously still have a, you know, regular day job that you have to do as well. So.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It's good you got the time limit on. I'm sure you get used to these stories go long. Now I have my wife with me so she can squeeze my leg under the table. Like, okay, that's enough. We were blessed to start this program. It was a hunt event to raise funds for a buddy who wanted to get into ministry full time. He was in the real estate business. And so that was 19 years ago. We just had our 19th annual event, October 11th. And we just found, similar to a golf outing, an opportunity to use hunting as a vehicle to get a word out about ministries and people that are making a difference in their efforts, and then also raise funds to be able to support those different ministries and people. So it morphed from a one-day event back then. It still is a one-day event, but we were helping one ministry and one organization, to today we are helping multiple ministries and actually have started Life Camp USA off of that Hunt for Life hunting day event. So I'd simplify it by saying it's similar to a golf outing, but it's all things hunting, pheasant, shooting sporting clays. It's a bird type outing, not any archery event yet, but who knows what God will do. So
yeah, and I think you, if I'm not mistaken, you openly shared on your social media here a couple of weeks back the dollars raised, right? I didn't want to just blurt that out without your permission, but so yeah. Am I correct in saying it was an $800,000+ day of fundraising?
Yeah, it was. We're over 850 right now, and not sure exactly where to end up. I've always got this goal of hitting 1 million, which has been this big audacious goal, right? And but God has just been so generous and blessed us, you know, with the guys that come. And you know, we're getting on purpose. We kind of did a, Janie and I were talking about a theme. We try and create a theme each year. And so our theme this year was, and we created a shirt, and it was, "We're Coming." So we're doing a little takeoff of Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes, like, "We're Coming." If you hear his speech about his first day at Colorado in the locker room, it was pretty wild. And they've kind of fallen on their faces a bit here the last few games, mm-hmm. but they went from not having a winning season in, you know, 20 years to winning their first three games. So this theme of "We're Coming" was, guys are adopting it. So Hunt for Life and Life Camp USA, "We're Coming," and God's using that day in a special way to just touch men's hearts that are there, that are open to being generous and saying, "Hey, we want to make a difference." So the Hunt is an event, but obviously Life Camp USA, honestly, that's really been a mission that guys are grabbing onto, is helping these sons and of the fallen, you know, our heroes, our military and law enforcement guys that have died. And so we've got this camp we started for their sons. And so we can talk more about that later, but yeah, God's been moving. And 850 grand. We were blown away. We've been going up about 200 grand a year. I didn't think it was going to happen this year. I'm like, there's no way we're going past 650 again. You know, there's only 130 guys that come to the event. So it is not a big, you know, big dinner with 400 or 500 people. It's 120 guys. And it went up again. So yeah, we're feeling very blessed. Yeah. A lot of ministry can be done with that.
Just insane. I mean, I'm not going to, I try not to be envious. You know, we're not supposed to envy our neighbor, but it's like, dang, how do I get there? But at the same time, we all have our lanes to stay in, and we're all doing work in our respective areas. But what an awesome thing you've built. And this is just outside of Madison, Wisconsin, Johnson Creek, right? Milford Hills.
Yep. Milford Hills Hunt Club.
Yep. And it's $5,000 a team. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. That's what we did, foursomes. And it's been, you know, based on the size of the place, we filled up all the fields and all the, you know, the five stand, the tower shoots. So we really don't have any more room. What's that?
Gun range.
We did our first event on the gun range this year. We added that. The guys love that switch up, shooting ARs and shooting targets down range. Yeah, so that was cool.
Well, and I know you and I have talked both on here and offline about, you know, a place that I found up in Minnesota that I think would just be absolutely perfect for this. And you know, you can't eat an elephant in one bite. So at some point, maybe that is an option for you to go that route. But I can't imagine the work that goes into putting on a fundraiser of that size. And then, okay, let's mimic this again in another state. That's maybe a conversation for another day. But there's definitely an opportunity there if and when you want to, no pun intended, pull the trigger on that opportunity.
We did talk about, I remember on the show last year, about kind of this franchising idea of taking kind of what we've built and know how to function as a fun event for guys that want to come every year. I mean, this year I sold, you know, you think of golf outings, we actually sold out the event in about 10 days at 5,000 a foursome. That was back in July, and it's in August. I sent out the email and it was pretty much filled within a week and a half.
It's October, isn't it?
Such a blessing. Yeah. But in July is when I send out the invitation, and it filled in 2 days in July, which was just such a blessing, because everybody hates trying to fill an event. You know, there's nothing worse than like, we need more guys, we're struggling for, you know, filling the tables or whatever. So that was just huge to take the pressure off. Mm-hmm. And we actually had this year a guy from Michigan who came with his dad, and they're planning to do one in Grand Rapids next year. So we may have a Hunt for Life Foundation charity event in Michigan next year.
Yeah.
That's the plan anyway, but still working out details. So yeah, we'll see what God does with this. He's given us kind of a tool to help people impact their local area too, ministry wise. It's just kind of unique. And so, yeah, we'll see how far this spreads or what God does with it.
Well, and I just love, you know, being a Christian myself, I love what you're doing with the Operation Heal Our Patriots. I know you know, you do the life camp thing for the kiddos, but then for people that aren't familiar with that, you know, Operation Heal Our Patriots is part of Samaritan's Purse, which is part of Billy Graham Ministries. Yeah. And they take husbands and wives in the military that are having marital struggles, ship them up to Alaska for a 1 week, all expenses paid trip. And I think the cost on that is $5,000 as well, isn't it?
Yeah, 6,000 a week or so.
And up until a couple months ago, I thought, man, it would be really cool if I could someday meet somebody that went on one of these trips that was willing to share their story. Well, how God works. I had a mutual friend of ours over in or a mutual friend of mine and this gentleman that I'm going to have on the podcast over in Michigan that did just that. He was up there in July. He and his wife were having some issues. He got saved. He got baptized up in Alaska. Him and I have been talking occasionally and texting quite frequently. And so I'm going to have him on the podcast now. So I am super stoked to hear firsthand what that experience was like for him and for his family, because I know it was life-changing for him.
Yeah, that has been a neat part of our event, is we usually have four guys in from Operation Heal Our Patriots. So there were four guys this year that came, shared their story from the past summer there. That's what we've been doing. And it's really been impactful for all the attendees to just see, you know, something about men getting together, right? It's a man day of shooting and, you know, raffles and all this stuff. But when you hear guys get up in front of a crowd and share about their marriage, that's not your ordinary thing that happens at a men's fundraiser. But, you know, it gets real pretty quick. And you see some tears in the crowd of guys just listening pretty, you know, in depth to these guys who have, you know, are willing to give their life, right, for our country, and then are being transparent about just some of the struggles that are created because of their service. And so, yeah, it's Operation Heal Our Patriots. So it's amazing ministry.
Well, and you mentioned something there, and that's where I think that we're seeing so much impact in the work that you're doing, the work that I'm doing through HHA USA, is that you have men and women that have served our country, served our community, and gone through some really, really bad seasons. Mm-hmm. They've come out the other side, and they're vulnerable enough to want to share those stories. And that, to me, that's where the rubber meets the road, because, I mean, you can do all the 12 steps and all the self-help and all that stuff, but once you get somebody that is comfortable enough in their own skin that, yeah, I was a broken person. Maybe I still am to some extent, but there's therapy in sharing your story that comes back to the individual. I just know that from my own struggles with things that I've gone through. If I can help other people, it helps me.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I think we're seeing that time and time and time again in these organizations. And it's just, you know, unfortunately, these problems are always going to persist. They're always going to be present. But the more and more people that step up and go to an organization or an event like yours and are willing to get on the stage and share those marriage struggles, chances are, if there was 140 dudes at that place,
big time,
somebody's like, yeah, that's me. And there might have been a side conversation that you don't even know about that happened that day. Yep. That now somebody else's life has changed.
You know, I literally, Chris, had, I got a little crazy, but on the microphone up there, I'm like, you guys, this is real life, you know, and if any of you guys have got any issues, I said that, just what you said, if 120 guys are in this room, I can guarantee you we're all, it's not, you know, marriage isn't a piece of cake. And I had a guy that filled out a reply card and just said, hey, I need help with my marriage, you know, because I said, just put on a reply card, you want to talk about your marriage. And so to see a group of guys that are open to doing that, and this is, you know, not held out as a Christian event per se. It's open, you know, wide open. We have a lot of guys that they're not going to church. They're not involved in faith-based stuff at all. But even them, they, you know, they respond in amazing generosity, but also openness to say, hey, I need help in my marriage. I was blown away. I was like, wow, this is so special that guys can be real, you know, in that environment.
Well, and that's not you and I patting each other on the back for what we do, but I mean, as Christians, that's how we're supposed to walk out our faith. And it's not, you know, us standing on a street corner in sandals and a robe and hitting people upside the head with the New Testament every time they walk by. It's being the hands and feet of Jesus and just loving on people where they're at, and just being open and honest and willing to help.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Janie, we always are blown away by the wives that what they've shared, you know, with the life camp side of things where they've lost their husbands to military service or law enforcement service. Just them sharing, where you just touched on the what they're going through, you know, the cost that and the price they've paid in their marriages, and certainly for the families that are left behind when some of these guys take their lives or were killed in action. It's just been powerful. But Jane has been so involved with these moms last summer. Talked to 70 moms that we had at camp last year that all lost their husbands. You know, you talk about impactful conversations, Jane gets off these. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should share.
Yeah, well, I would agree in the sense that, you know, the men, they are naturally brave and they're rescuers, and that is instilled in their wives, I'd say, in the same way. And our appreciation for what they do, like they, because they're brave and because they're rescuers, they're willing to share their stories with us, and it just opened that window of appreciation all the wider. So we could have a general appreciation before we got as involved as we were, but because of their willingness to cross that bridge and share with us their experiences, our window just opened. Mm-hmm. It just flooded open all the wider, and they were okay with us asking them, personally, I was afraid even to talk with the moms because I felt like I didn't share, you know, I didn't have a common thread to share. You know, I'm coming from a completely different life and situation than what they've experienced. And yet they, as I shared that with them, I shared my apprehension, and they just opened the door completely wide open and were willing to share with me their stories and their struggles. So really, but it's because they're brave too, and they're rescuers too, and they just want that understanding. Mm-hmm. For people, they just want that. They want people to understand what they're going through.
Yeah, and it's interesting you should bring that up, because I mean, that's one thing that I really struggled with the first few years I was doing HHA USA. Is I'm not a veteran, I'm not a first responder, I didn't serve mm-hmm. our country or our community, and I don't have post-traumatic stress. So it's like, how am I going to relate to these guys? Mm-hmm. Why are they letting me into their circle? I don't feel like I belong there. But yeah. Again, I think that goes back to our Christian faith and in being the hands and feet of Jesus. We show Christ to people, even though they might not know what they're seeing, that yeah. that's what they're seeing. And we're not there. We don't have an agenda. We're not there to make money. We're not there to do anything other than just love on these people. And I think they see that. They see mm-hmm. how genuine we are. Mm-hmm. And so we become part of their circle.
Yeah.
Which that's powerful, because when you have that, then I mean, I get chills when I think about seeing the films that you guys put out about the work that you're doing, because it so captures the essence of the ministry. Mm-hmm. And it tugs at your heartstrings, and it's like, how do I help with this? Where do I sign up? I want to be a part of this. I know that, you know, it took me 3 years to finally get around and see that video, but when I did, I was breaking my leg from kicking myself in the butt. It's like, why did I wait so long?
Yeah, it's there's a lot of need out there, and to be able to meet, you know, that, to help in some way, as you said, you know, we're not military family ourselves, and so it's humbling to even be involved in that circle of people to us mm-hmm. with the sacrifice that they're willing to make. I mean, some of the guys that have shared from OHOP
yeah.
at the hunt. This one guy, yeah, I think he was on 23 tours.
Yeah.
And you could tell his head was a little rattled and just from his service. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'd go back tomorrow, you know, and you're just like, it blows you away when you see what this community is willing to sacrifice and give for our country. It's yeah. so humbling. And so we feel so privileged to be involved with it through Hunt for Life and then through Life Camp USA. It's just mm-hmm. very humbling. So it's been cool.
Yeah, I feel the same with, you know, the work that we're doing on the archery side through HHA USA. It's just, it's a very loving, loyal community. But once you're a part of it, you have to do something, I would think, pretty drastic to get kicked out of the club, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, well, let's talk about Life Camp USA, because that's the thing that really, really got me. You know, I forget how many, you know, it was a couple of years ago, I think, that you and I reconnected. Mm-hmm. It's $2,500 to send a kid to life camp. Last year, HHA USA raised some funds. We sent one kiddo this year. Spoiler mm-hmm. alert, we're doing two kids. So you're going to be getting a check from me for $5,000 here in the next couple of weeks to make that happen.
That's awesome. Thanks so much.
I just absolutely love what you are doing. So I'm going to let you talk about life camp and just how that has taken off here over the last couple of years and where it's going.
Yeah, thank you. We really credit those OHOP veterans coming to the hunt to open our window to understanding of where there are needs, and especially with the suicide factor that a lot of our guys who came to the hunt had shared. Mm. You know, that they had kind of hidden injuries in their marriages, as well as the hidden injury of the mind with a lot of their friends that had experienced that and then had taken their lives. And so they shared with us about the kids left behind in the aftermath of either taking their lives or training accident or being killed in action. And we had had always had involvement with youth ministry, as well as now our appreciation, our greater appreciation for the veteran ministry, and kind of combine the two ideas together with help from Naval Chaplain Jim Fisher, who was part of OHOP. We collectively gathered ideas and researched the needs and came up with this idea of Life Camp. But not just offering a experience that was fun for the kiddos, but to make it more about having an opportunity to be with other men. These boys, they're with their moms, they're with their mom's friends, or, you know,
grandmas,
you know, many times, but lots of times they just, we have found that they don't have the opportunity to be exposed to a group of men and share a week together fishing and doing fun stuff out in the wilderness.
Quick recap is, you know, this idea then with, Jim Fisher, who helped build OHOP for Franklin Graham, was to create a man camp for these young men who are left behind and kind of stand in the gap for their fathers to teach them things that we know are important for them to learn. It is based on, you know, Christian principles, but we're teaching them lessons of integrity, hard work, discipline in life, resisting addictions, all these things that can take these young men, right? They're middle schoolers. So our age group is 11 to 13 year old boys. So if anybody out there listening today knows any family that could benefit from having their son come to Life Camp, you let us know, and they absolutely will be welcome to come to the camp experience. And it's just been powerful to see the change in these young men at camp. And the idea is really, it's not like a typical camp where you've, and there's tons of great camps, which we know are out there.
Yeah.
Grief camps, ours isn't really focused on that. It's really this mentoring focus that we're like, you know, young men today, need direction. Certainly our culture is not giving them clarity on which direction to head. And somebody's got to step up and do that. So we're going a little countercultural and against the stream, but that's what God calls us to do all the time. So, and we built this man camp idea for 10 boys. We have 10 men that come, usually 3 to 4 military or law enforcement men in the mentor group. They take a week off work to come to the camp with these boys. So last year we had 60 men step up to take a week of vacation, right? Unpaid at Life Camp anyway, to just impact these young men and show them what it means to be, what the Bible says a man is and what God calls us to in a greater purpose, you know, in life. So we hope to just equip these boys. Jane's got a little bit she can share about. We have a little twist that we did a first time camp this summer, but that was the idea, the onset of Life Camp, is let's get young men away, get around the campfire, teach them lessons, talk about life, go, you know, cut wood, go play games, swim, and then sit with men and just talk about these things that in life are real life, pornography, addiction, stuff that is not getting talked about normally, but we know can create some serious problems in all of us. So it's been great. The camp's been amazing.
Mm-hmm. And we had a little special twist this summer. We included just honoring the men's daughters as well. So we had our first camp for girls. We had 10 young ladies and 10 women mentors. They too, a few of them have military. Well, we had some with military background and some that are married to those that are part of the military, and some teachers and youth directors and counselors, and just a great team of really talented women that came alongside these girls. So super fun.
That's awesome. Is that a plan to, you know, based on funding to continue to expand on that to where you might maybe next year have 2 camps for girls or just?
Yeah, we'll always leave the door open for a couple camps for the girls, but I'd have to just share from experience, because I go with Mark to the boys' camps, is that it's really special to see those young men interact with the men, their mentors. They call them uncles at camp. They want to be standing right next to those men, fishing with them and, you know, learning how to pull a bow back and throwing a hatchet and, you know, starting a campfire. They love that. They love being with the men. The girls are with their moms and other women all the time. So it was not that we didn't have a great time together, that they didn't learn the leadership principles that we were trying to teach them. But like when we were fly fishing, it was kind of like, hey, Aunt Jane, can you hold my stuff so that I can try fly fishing with my new girlfriend that I just met, you know? So there's a little difference in that respect. So we'll always leave the door open in the sense of honoring those men and their daughters too. But we're
still figuring this part out.
Trying to,
we've gone a long way in literally, I guess it's 28 months, 29 months, because the first year was kind of a concept camp to what happens when we do this. We were blown away. I mean, literally a military guy came back and said, you need to professionalize my role. And that was Trevor, who last time we talked with on the podcast, he's like, I've got to do something. It's so moving what happens. And so from that, we've developed in life care, and that's a follow-up program. Every month we do a Zoom with the boys. We're still doing that. And then we did create a 2.0 camp this year. So that was also an experiment. So in the three summers of camps, we've gone from really just hoping we'd have a mountaintop experience for these young men to be like, I will never forget Life Camp USA. I'm going to get away and be, you know, invested into by these other mentors that we knew would be impactful for the boys. So when they look back, we just hope, man, I hope they never forget this week. And we've given them materials and books and field guides and stuff they can reference later in life. But afterwards, we're like, we can't not see these boys ever again. There's no way.
Yeah.
So that's where we went into the monthly Zoom meetings with them. So we still have camp Zoom meetings this year. I mean, this Sunday coming up, we've got camp Zoom meeting Sunday night, 7 o'clock, with boys from the Alaska camp, two Montana camps, Colorado camp, Minnesota camp, South Dakota camp. We had seven camps last summer. The girls are going to do their Colorado camp Zoom. So everybody Sunday night this week, actually, everybody connects on their Zoom camp meeting and meets again with their camp people to be, you know, encouraged, talk and reconnect. So, I mean, God's doing special stuff. It's been kind of mind blowing where it's come in the couple of years that we've done it. I'm really grateful. Still learning a lot, though, too.
Yeah. And so grateful for like Trevor Fabian, Air Force combat controller, and his skill set with helping us to just mesh with the military platforms out there of the Survivor Outreach Services to just help us to open those doors to getting the word out so that we can let moms know, you know, that we have a camp available for the purpose, you know, that we offer. So we're super grateful for those people like Trevor Fabian and Jim Fisher to come alongside us,
help us direction. To grow.
I don't know. I get giddy every time I have a conversation with you guys because I love the ministry. I love everything about it. And the Alaska thing, that was kind of I'm not going to say a curveball, but that was a huge blessing that is going to get even bigger in 2024. Am I stepping in it there? Should I have not said that? Or
It is. We honestly are sitting here, Chris, like, okay, what's going to happen this year? I mean, it is one, you know, I think when we think of what our needs are, we don't. How would I say this? You know, what we really need are connections. So guys listening out there, if there's no campers, there's no camps, right? So we've been blessed to really have about the number of young men, the moms say, hey, can my son come to this camp, this program? We're open to, and we'll raise funds. I believe the Lord's shown us he's going to bless us and provide the funds for these families, for any family that wants their son to come. But we aren't connected into these military organizations or law enforcement. I mean, it has been, if anybody out there is listening and has connections to families of the fallen in law enforcement, really tough walls to break through, to be honest. Last year, we had 67 military kids, children, three law enforcement families. That's it. So it is tough. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep pounding and we're going to break down those walls. But there's probably people listening out there that can help us do that. So we would love those connections. And you know what, if God brings us 100 kids, 200 kids, we'll build out the camps. I think we feel confident about that. We've hired some admin, where we've got a director of ops that's coming on board and strategy literally in about 2 weeks to help us build this out. And we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But as God's led, we're trying to say, okay, let's provide what we know these moms have thanked us for afterwards, and the boys, and they call us and they want to be life camp uncle someday. I'm like, they're like, when can I be a life camp uncle? The kid's 13. I'm like, well, our minimum age is 30 for an uncle. I'm like, oh boy, we better figure out something else in between 13 and 30. But so all this stuff, we're still working on, Chris, but man, yeah, we want to meet the need. We know there's 2,000 to 3,000 kids that are in our age group from 11 to 13 that have lost their their dads to either killed in action, service activity, or suicide. So,
wow, yeah, a lot to digest there. Maybe you call them cousins, the 15 to 30. Maybe they're cousins instead of uncles. I don't know. It's the marketing guy in me.
Maybe
camp buddy. I don't know. Exactly. But and you talk about, you know, the funding. Well, God's will, God's bill, right?
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yep. He's done it so far. So yeah.
No, my wheels are turning. If I'm sitting here looking down writing, it's just because I'm making notes, because as you talk, it's like, oh, yep, I got to tell him about that. I got to pray about that. It's like the wheels are always turning, and they turn a little faster every time you and I talk.
You know, one thing I guess I'll add when I'm thinking about this, because you don't always realize what people hear. You know what you're saying, and I know what I'm thinking about. But the camps, we do not own camps. We haven't. We don't like say, hey, we're going to start a camp here and there. So the funding has gone all to creating the support, which we need bandwidth, right, to build out. We had 140 flights alone that we had to put together this summer. And so we need help in doing that. That has nothing to do with camp. That's just getting the people to camp. It's a pretty big task, again. And if it's 500 kids, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But it's really just dropping into a camp location. So last year, Alaska, I called a guy. His camp was called Fish Camp. Jay Nepro put a plug in, got a killer fishing camp in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And saw him online. I said, I think Fish Camp and Life Camp need to get together this summer. What do you think? And he emailed me back the next morning. He said, let's talk. He watched our video and he's like, I'm in. You guys bring a team up here. We'll host a camp in Alaska. So that's how it happened last year. You know, God's opening doors. We come in, we pay for the camps. So we don't want, there's a lot of camps struggling out mm-hmm. there. We don't want to be a burden in any way to them. We feel hopefully this will be motivating and inspiring to them if we can do our program for 1 week in their camp. Obviously, they've got summer camp going themselves, a lot of them, or guests. But as the doors open, you know, and as we have the demand of the young men that want to come to camp, or young ladies, we'll find them. And I think the Lord will provide that too. And so he'll provide the camps and the funding, and we'll just see where we go, what states we're in, and maybe someday we will have a camp. Because we did think this summer, we're flying people to six different states. Yeah. Maybe it'd be easier to have one camp somewhere that we could at least bring in 10 weeks of camps to one location instead of fly them to, but we'd still probably be going. It's neat sending the boys the first flights. The moms are like, I don't think we're going to put him on a plane. We're like, nope, you got to put him on a plane. This will be one step in becoming a man, is seeing a little 11-year-old get off the plane with these big eyes, like, who am I meeting here? It's just crazy. And you're like, big arms and all these uncles, these guys are here like, Aiden, come here, buddy. And like, it's the whole process. It starts right from there. Like, oh boy, here we go. But it's so powerful. It's so neat.
It's awesome. You guys already have a camp in Wisconsin. Where do you go in Wisconsin?
We go up to Fort Wilderness.
Okay.
It's near Minocqua area.
Yeah.
They've got a great spot for us up there. So.
Yeah. Any interest in a possible second Wisconsin location?
Yeah. I mean, we're...
Some of it has to do with airports. We need to be, our preference is an hour and a half from an airport is the farthest we want to put those kids on, into a van and travel once they've traveled all day, you know.
Yep, makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's, there's definitely, I mean, we know what we need. We need a lake or a swimming hole, because those kids, you can't keep them out of the water. These boys are like, let's go swimming, every time. Fishing, they love fishing. Doesn't matter whether they've done it before. So we just know. So that's really how we're finding camps now, is like, is there a swimming spot? Is there some remoteness to it? We don't want to be in a camp with 200 other kids or 300 other kids that are running around wakeboarding while we're trying to have our kids rub sticks together to make a fire. They're like, I think I'd rather wakeboard. I'm like, nope, this is we're learning different lessons at life camp. So, but it's been, we definitely are looking for more locations to go to.
Well, we'll talk offline after we're done recording here. I'll just leave it at that. I have a possibility for you. The airport part, I'm not 100% sure on. I know they've got water, they've got fishing. So possible opportunity for another Wisconsin location for you.
Sounds good.
So, well, man, what else? I mean, we talk, I know a lot about what you guys do, but I mean, I'm going to give each of you maybe the opportunity before we hop off here to just share, obviously not going to share names, but just one story from last summer or from the time that you've been doing this that was like, man, this is why we're doing this. Because I know obviously you've got day jobs. I've got a day job. There's times that, I mean, ministry work is hard, especially when you're not doing it full time. Mm-hmm. And it's like the enemy will attack me. It's like, you don't really need to be doing this podcast. You don't really need to be doing all these shoots. You should just, you know, pour into your business and maybe you should just give this thing up. And I have to fight off those attacks all the time. Cause I mean, the more work that we do for God, the greater the attacks of the enemy become.
Mm-hmm.
And so just if I can give you both the opportunity to share one of those stories where it's like, not that you need the validation, but when you see it, it's like, yeah, that's why we're doing this. Can you each give me one of those?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I can speak to something that we do at camp that has become a valuable tradition. And that is an honor ceremony that we have towards the end of the week. We honor their dads, but we honor the camper sort of in place of their dads, that they understand that we recognize that in a sense that they are still serving our country as they had a lifestyle that was due to their father's service. It's different. And they have big stories at young ages. And so we honor them as well as we honor their father. And the interesting thing that has taken place is some of them, unfortunately, because of whatever influence has created this in their mind, they feel almost as if maybe embarrassed that their dad maybe took his own life. There's a feeling of embarrassment there instead of pride. And when I had said earlier how the moms have been so kind to me to share their stories, that is one thing that they said that they feel badly about, that they know that that's in their child, this not full feeling of appreciation and pride for their dad because of that factor. And so we have been able to share. And even besides the suicide factor, some of the kids maybe said, you know, I don't think my dad was that great of a guy for whatever reason. But we were able to tell them, like, there is something you can be proud of in your dad, and it's that they served our country. They can grab onto that, and they're like, you know, I have something to grab onto that is positive. Or in regards to the suicide factor, we've changed their mindset. Like, they've done a 180 from understanding now that, especially because they have military presence at camp, that these men have been able to come alongside these boys and explain that to them and say, you know, you can, this trajectory that you're on and this feeling can be given a complete 180 turn, that you can understand that he had an injury to his mind and that he knew that that was a possibility that could happen to him, yet he decided to serve our country anyways. He chose to serve our country anyways, knowing that that could be a factor that he could have an injury to his mind. And so these boys, just to see the and girls, to see that pride well up within them, there's something about that honor ceremony. I think this is one of the best parts of the whole week. Mm-hmm. I do.
And for the kids,
what a beautiful thing you're doing. It's got to be a hard conversation to have with those kiddos, but at the same time, you've got that military presence in camp, so that those uncles can then speak into those boys in those hard conversations, and hopefully they come home a lot different than when they got there. You know, seven days changed their life. And I mean, I just think, man, you are changing lives from a generational aspect. I mean, some of these boys, had they not come to camp, they may have ended up in jail or not being productive members of society. I mean, I'm going way the other way, but I mean, now you're setting them up to succeed for literally generations to come, where hopefully, you know, 50 years from now, little Johnny's looking back and going, yeah, back in 2023, I got sent up to Alaska for a week and I wasn't in a good place, and it changed my life.
Yeah. So some of the boys and the kiddos, a lot of times there's like this piece of anger you can sense in them when they come. And they can still end up being just as squirrely all week or mouthy or whatever. But it's the piece of anger that when you see them get rid of that piece of anger, that part is life-changing. Yeah. So
many of the moms have said to Jane, like, thank you. you know, that narrative, and obviously suicide is a massive bummer, but it's almost like understanding, well, why did my dad take his life, right? I'm sure these kids are always asking that question, whether they ask it straight out or not, but understanding that they were injured, right? Just like a guy who's killed in action is injured because of his service. If someone has a mind injury and gets PTSD, they're injured, you know? And so for the kids to understand that your dad served and your dad committed his life to service to this country, and he gave it up for the country in essence, you know, without a doubt. And so the wives and the moms have been like, thank you for helping my kids understand that aspect, even though it's not any easier, it still helps them. Yeah. And then moving forward, a way to move forward, like you said.
Yeah.
Well, and hopefully that's one of the most difficult things that they're going to have to go through in their life. Obviously, they're going to have other struggles as they grow into young men and adults, but hopefully that's the 9/11. That's the bad thing. And then things continue to get better from there. But I mean, you're putting grace on display for those boys and teaching them how to give grace to their dads, how to give grace to themselves. And what a gift.
Yeah. It's been, we're all continuing to be blown away at every camp. You know, we think it's like, well, this camp's not going to be like last. It's kind of been the same with the hunt. You know, each year I'm like, well, this hunt event will not be like last year, but it's just like, oh my gosh, God did it again. He blew us away.
Yeah.
We haven't just had a three-peat in camps. We had an 11-peat. I mean, the same thing has happened 11 times over. Every man comes back. I just got an email today from a Navy SEAL in Virginia. He's like, I sent out an email this weekend, said, guys, here's what we're doing. And we kind of have a ministry now. There's a lot of ministry behind the ministry. So we got 60 guys that have volunteered to be uncles.
Yeah.
We're doing a little men's retreat with these guys in February around the No Regrets Conference. So if guys have heard of that, we're going to build it around that. But they want to do more for the kids. And so we're getting emails like, I'm in, you know, what else can I do? And so we know it's meeting a need for the kids, obviously, the moms, the uncles, the guys that are serving, right, and alongside the boys now. I think we're all learning things. Each of us men, you know, we can go home and here's a week of investing in a young man, but why can't we do that the other 51 weeks a year, right? It doesn't have to be at life camp only. So teaching all of us and to think about outside the box of, you know, let's get out there and serve.
Yeah. And it's so special to see those mentors and the law enforcement that many times they don't know another believer in the group that they served in the place that they were serving. And then when they come to life camp, you know, whatever division, it doesn't matter. It's that they all could relate to being Christians that served in the military. And so there's ministry in that with one another, that camaraderie. Mm-hmm. So it's just such a blessing for us to be able to witness and see that and see how meaningful that is to them.
Yeah, I was just thinking there's so many layers to the way that the gospel is getting shared in this. It just that we could make a weekly series. Maybe you need to start your own podcast. I'm just going to throw that out there. put something else on your plate.
We'll be on yours occasionally. Yeah. That's good.
Fair enough. Stay in your lane. Tend the sheep at your feet, as my good friend tells me. So
know what you're good at. But, you know, if I can add, I'll just share one other quick story and maybe a quick call out to those that are listening if they feel they can be of help in any way. But, you know, we got an email a week before the hunt event in October from a mom who was just like literally saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is out here for my son. It's exactly what I want. He was only 10. So we said, hey, next year he'll be in. But just they want, these moms want their boys to thrive. One, survive, right? And then even better than that, they hope for thriving, not just surviving. But honestly, at this point, so many of them are just in survival mode. Like, this is what my boy needs. You know, he sits by himself. He's not engaging. You know, used to go fishing with his dad or out mowing the lawn. Now he's just in his room. I mean, it pulls at your heart. Like, we got to reach these boys, you know, for teaching them all those lessons. But, and one of the letters, the first, it was like a God thing totally. And I may have shared this last time, but for the first email we got when we were thinking about, should we do this camp, was from a mom who said, I've heard about this. My son's dad took his own life from PTSD. And he was there and experienced that. And then I had gotten remarried and my husband had PTSD, also another military man, and ended up in a really tough spot. Yeah. Pulled a gun on his wife and just the cops ended up coming over. And it was a really sad experience with this little guy. Watched his second father, stepdad, get shot by the police in defending the mom. I mean, just, and I'm like, are you kidding me? this is our first applicant for Life Camp USA. This young boy, and had a picture of him next to his father's tombstone. It was like, oh boy, what did we just start? You know, when that's your first email from a mom, like, I need my son to come to this. It was so powerful. It's almost like, well, we're not stopping. You know, there's no way this is stopping, especially knowing that it's so much bigger. You know, the whole thing of then adding suicide to the picture. We had a buddy, one of the guys from OHOP, and I said to him at the hunt, I said, hey, do you have any, we're starting this camp for young men who lost their dads in service. Do you have any buddies that, you know, you lost and they have their sons that could come to camp? And the first guy that said to me, he's like, I don't have any buddies that lost their lives, but I have seven guys that have taken their lives since I got back from service. Would you take their sons? And it was just like, of course, you know, it was just like, we've had all these just like, you know, mic drop moments like, oh boy, hello, this is the next step. So there's so many young men out there that we can help. And if anybody listening to this knows families.
Oh, I just want to say that OHOP, it's been such a blessing for us to get to know those men. One of them came to our hunt, came to the hunt, and he ended up, the PTSD ended up getting the best of him, and he ended up taking his life after he, you know, we were so grateful to be able to sponsor the week that he had gone to Alaska, and he was able to, he and his wife have that time together of healing and have some great years, but the PTSD got the best of him. So the hunt was able to sponsor OHOP, him to go to OHOP, and then we got an application for his daughters to come to camp. So then we were able to serve that same family through Life Camp. But just to see that come full circle was super humbling and really, yeah. So the stories, that first camper, that was a crazy, tragic story. We couldn't believe what we were getting into, but they keep coming is what I'm saying, that there's these kinds of situations are out there for these families, but they've, where it all started from is some men and women who, out of love and compassion and pride and bravery, you know, decided to put their lives, you know, ahead of ours and serve our country and serve us. So they're worth it.
Wow. I don't know what better way to close than what you just said there, Jane. That was, that's what we're all called to do. And I mean, we all have to pick up our cross every day and carry it. And I just thank you two for doing the work that you're doing and being obedient to the calling that God put on your heart. And this is going to be a yearly podcast. I love you two. I love the work that you're doing. And I want to give you this platform to talk about Life Camp and Hunt for Life once a year. And I'm excited about coming on here in 16 years when you're like, yeah, we're now in year 19 of Life Camp and we've got camps in all 50 states. And who knows? Who knows? God knows what he's going to do with it. So it's just, it's awesome. It's awesome. Keep up the great work. And you've invited me down multiple times, Mark, but I have to put it on my calendar next October to come down and volunteer and just witness firsthand this awesome thing that you're doing with Hunt. I would love to see it. It's an hour and a half from my house. I have no excuse not to come down.
We're not in another state. At least we're neighbors.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't have to fly anywhere. I can drive down and come down for the day and hang out. And so if that invitation is still there, I would love to come.
Hey, buddy, you bet. And there's also an uncle spot for you at Life Camp. Yeah. So one of these summers, you're going to be on the uncle team. I know it. So
sounds like a plan to me, man. I love it.
Kick out too. If guys have an interest in finding out more, if they could I give them a website address and stuff?
I wasn't going to do that, but see, you're a natural for this podcast thing. You already queued it up before the host could. So knock yourself out.
The hunt is kind of self-sustaining. But the Life Camp thing, man, this is, like we said, it's only about 28, 29 months old, but God's moving. And so we, you know, families that we can help. Funding our budget this year, just because we don't want to do it. We want to love on these kids. Their families have paid the ultimate sacrifice and continue to, right? Their wives, you know, we oftentimes think, oh, it's over, but the families are still here. These kids are still living life and the moms are. So this next year, our budget to run Life Camp will be over $1 million. So it's, and Jane and I are not getting paid. Not that that's something important to say, but a lot of times people in nonprofits, they wonder, well, who's getting paid where? We are doing this as a 100% volunteer effort. But it takes money to do a good program for kids and do the monthly follow-ups and things that we do for these boys and girls. So if they can go to lifecampusa.org, lifecampusa.org, it's our website, talks about what we're doing, the programs. And if anybody just has any information or you have people to send there that we can help, again, all expenses paid, the families do not pay one penny towards anything. And we've even, you know, if we can help them even beyond life camp, we've done some of that too. But yeah, we appreciate anybody out there that's able to help out. So.
And you guys are on the socials as well. Instagram, Facebook, we can find both Hunt for Life and Life Camp on there as well, right?
You got it. Life Camp USA. Appreciate it, brother. It's awesome to be here with you.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
100%. No, we'll do it again. And we'll see you guys at our special event, hopefully in April down at Vortex again. So, and I want to give you, we're going to change some things up down there. Cause I mean, we're going to have a couple hundred people from the service community down there. They need to hear your message more than just you sharing it during a concert at an 8-foot table. So we're going to have a stage and everything this year. So we're going to put you up on there and roll one of those life camp videos during the prayer breakfast on Saturday morning before we kick things off and give you guys some time to talk about what you're doing. So
thanks, brother. Just getting the word out. Lots of young people to help. So
absolutely. All right. We will, blessings out in the woods, and we'll see you both real soon.
Thanks.
Okay.
A ton.
Yeah,
take care. God bless you.
Your day.
You too.
As we wrap up this week, I wanted to say thank you all for listening to the HHA USA podcast. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. To stay up to date on all the latest news and events, follow HHA USA on Facebook and Instagram. You can also follow host Chris Hamm on Instagram at ChrisHamm2517. That's Chris Hamm with two M's, 2517. If you'd like to support our cause, donations can be made through our website, www.hhausa.org. You can also purchase HHA USA branded hats, shirts, tumblers, and challenge coins at www.hhasports.com. Also, Thrivent members, you can use your Thrivent Choice dollars to support HHA USA as well. And last but not least, please don't forget to follow the HHA USA podcast on all your favorite podcast apps and tell your friends to do the same. I'm Logan Chartrand, and the HHA USA podcast is a WhizBang Media production.